You're on session at 10:30.
I'm going to reorder the agenda slightly. Let's move to item 5D, review, discussion, and possible action for review of initial review. 17-37 Jason Pointer. They've been waiting all morning, very patiently. And so this is an initial review, right? And would you like to make an opening statement, or?
I'm happy to. It'll be real brief.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Rick DeLo with Jenny Stress and Sam.
Jason Hoyer.
Okay. Should we introduce ourselves?
Sure.
Again?
Why not?
Joshua Greer, public member.
Dr. Kelly King, professional member.
Peggy Hunter, professional member.
Karen Bustillo, professional member.
Mark Cornwell, professional member.
Mishka Ryan, professional member.
John Tiller, assistant attorney general and legal advisor.
Karen Donahue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Brian Cardoza, administrative services officer.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit. We don't need to swear anyone in because
you
this
not.
Is not a formal
That's correct.
Or even informal hearing, okay? So, yes, if you'd like to make an opening statement, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, members of the board. We appreciate your time to hear this. Mr. Pointer takes this matter seriously. That's why he's here today. I have a summary that I'll provide to you after the fact that I prepared. I represented Mr. Pointer in the underlying lawsuit that has brought this to your attention. Mr. Pointer had no say in whether this case settled or not. He worked for TOCA, and TOCA had consent rights, and so he had no say in that. And the decision was made to resolve this case. It was a frustrating case because we did not believe the patient deserved anything, but the choice or decision was made to settle. Mr. Pointer believes he met the standard of care in his care treatment of the patient. And we had an expert witness to support Mr. Pointer. That was Matt Hubble with Foothills Sports Medicine. And he believed that everything was done appropriate, met the standard of care. As far as the facts of this case go, the patient was first seen July 23rd of 2012. She had a knee surgery performed. Dr. Padley, the orthopedic surgeon, referred her to Mr. Pointer for physical therapy. The patient claims she told Mr. Pointer, as well as a physical therapy student, that she could not ride a bike because she had a prior coccyx injury as a child. But they told her simply, get on the bike, we don't care, ride the bike. That's nowhere in the records, and it's our position that that did not take place. She never told Mr. Pointer this information or the PT student. She never indicated that she had injured herself in any way after this first visit. She came back 4 days later and advised that she felt like she had injured her coccyx. That's when, Mr. Pointer was first advised of this. Now, there's indication in the records that the physical therapy tech placed her on a recumbent bike again, that visit and then the subsequent visit. We're not sure if that took place because at her deposition, the patient indicated that she was in such excruciating pain, if they had told her to get back on the bike, she wouldn't have been able to do it. So we don't know that actually took place. We also had a causation expert in this case, Bill Stevens, who's a well-known spine surgeon here in town. He does not believe that sitting on this padded recumbent bike would have caused her injury to the coccyx, and he did not believe that any surgery that she subsequently had was related to this bike. So we don't believe there was any harm. And that's confirmed by Dr. Michael Steingart. He performed an independent medical examination on her for her workers' compensation matter. Had nothing to do with us, and he also stated that he did not believe sitting on this recumbent bike caused her any harm or injury. Obviously, in looking through the investigative report that we have, there's issues that were noted about documentation. And Mr. Pointer has learned from this. He wants to improve the care he provides to all his patients. And he has actually taken the course, the ProTech PT documentation course, since this has occurred. So he's trying to better himself in the care and treatment that he provides to his patient. So in summary, we believe that Mr. Pointer did everything right in treating this patient. And we would request that the complaint be dismissed.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move into board have any questions or
I have one question regarding when the was about the patient comments, that the patient was in so much pain that they wouldn't have ridden the bike anyways. Was it related to her knee or her back at the time?
To her coccyx.
Got it. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Exactly. Mr. Pointer, when the patient came into the clinic and the tack was there, I'm assuming that you had some conversation with her, or did you acknowledge her or anything?
Can you clarify, Ms. Witcher, with your question? When the patient came in the...
Came into the clinic?
The second time, the first time?
Anytime.
Yeah. So, yeah, anytime. Yeah, absolutely. The clinic is not much... It's actually probably smaller than the size of this room, so it's very, very personal and very easy if an assistant is helping out. If there is anything, a lot of times you can overhear a conversation and just kind of step in. But also, if there is any communication that something is being said, like... To that degree, they're well aware that they should contact the PT and kind of discuss it with the PT and kind of hold and don't pursue further with the patient.
So how did you confirm that she increased the resistant level on the bike herself to 9.5?
So that would have been herself selected, and the technician, whatever she self-selected as a speed. Potentially, and that would have been then documented by the technician.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I just want to know why the insurance company paid $500,000 to a lady, but I don't think I'm going to get an answer to that question. So,
yeah.
Do you have a copy, or is it in here, of the ProTech course that you took?
Oh, I don't have the, I actually would, took the course that Karen provides, so I don't have a copy of the ProTech.
Do you recall when you took it?
It would have been probably approximately 2.5 to 3 years ago.
Oh.
And you took these like the documentation class, et cetera. That was your own idea, correct?
Yes, sir.
Did someone else suggest to you, like, this would be a good idea if you did this, or...?
No, I just felt like that I could always improve on what I'm doing and felt like that this would be an opportunity to further advance and improve upon documentation, improve upon just my practice and care.
Do you think it was in part because of this case?
I do feel like that it was something that, as you know, we reviewed the case. It were the things that reviewed that came up where I felt like I could have, you know, if I was, I, in my mind, felt like had I did this better, you know, I might have did a better job of presenting this and helped out in the overall kind of result of the case.
Sounds like it might not have changed the outcome.
It may
of the
not
case,
have,
but
sure.
It's interesting because documentation is not the core class that most physical therapists seek out unless they're told highly, they're requested highly to take it, you know. So kudos to you.
I make a motion to dismiss this.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss. Is there any further discussion? Okay. And I'll call the question.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being patient and coming. We really appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to reorder again to item number 54, 18-38, Jordan Williams. He's been waiting here for a while, so Jordan, why don't you come on up? Similar to the last case, this is an initial hearing, initial review, so we're not going to swear in anybody. But we would like, we'll probably have questions for you, and you can answer those to the best of your knowledge. I'm going to forego the introduction to the board members. Is that
sure.
Okay? Okay, does anyone have any questions for Mr. Williams?
Does he have an opening statement?
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Do you have an opening statement that you'd like to make?
Thank you for the opportunity to address the board today. I am here to show you that I take this matter very seriously. I hope that I can answer some basic questions. I've also been advised by the legal counsel not to answer anything more than basic, so, or clarification questions.
Okay. Board members have questions?
I have a few questions. So, Mr. Williams, when you are demonstrating the kinesio tape on volunteers and a PT student, mm-hmm. you stated it was for their, I think, educational advancement, something to that effect? Okay. So, can you explain to me a little bit more why you didn't allow them to do it to you?
So when I'm demonstrating to them, mm-hmm. Typically it's, you know, with somebody, with volunteers, there's not really a reason for them to learn that technique necessarily. I mean, that's more of an advanced technique. And so they would simply do that.
So what was the advantage of them having the kinesio tape put on them?
It was more for demonstration. Many of them had never been into a PT clinic before. And so it was having them experience something that a patient would experience.
Okay. So do you, the same techniques with the kinesio tape that you used on the volunteers and the PT student, have you used on patients in the clinic?
I have used on patients.
Okay. I'm just a little concern, I guess is a word, when you did the kinesio tape on the young lady, I think to her hip, where she had to take her underwear off. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then you had her do some exercises afterwards. Is that correct?
Some movements, not necessarily exercises.
Okay, what movements?
I have her perform hip internal external rotation and then stand up, her gown was in front, covering, and I had her just kind of swat a little bit, move around, make sure that the tape was going to stay.
Okay, so have you done that same kinesio tape on a patient in the clinic?
I have.
Okay. Did you have another, was it to a female?
I have been female.
Okay. Did you have another female person in the room when you did that?
I don't recall if every time I have or not.
Okay. I'm just wondering if it would have been more appropriate for you to excuse yourself from the room after doing the kinesio tape on this young lady and give her the opportunity to put her underwear back on before she had to do all these exercises.
I did not. They were covered by the gown the entire time, and so I did not feel it was necessary.
Okay, well, not according to her. Okay. So, there's a young man that worked for you as a tech, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever do any of the kinesio taping on him?
I believe we taped his shoulders, but I don't recall.
Okay. So it's a little confusing to me why you chose to do these kinesio taping on women when they had to disrobe.
I believe that I can say most of that was due to circumstances. Not all of the females that were in my clinic had kinesio tape. Not all the males were in my clinic had kinesio tape. And so it was really more circumstances. Who was available? The volunteers came in different times during the week. They had, sometimes there was times where the clinic was busier, and so that was really kind of pushed off secondary, and they tended to be more in observational there standing. But if we had time to talk about cases, talk about patient treatments, why I did what I did, or to demonstrate, it wasn't absolutely not limited to kinesio taping. It was also mobilizations, any sort of soft tissue stuff, anything like that.
So I'm curious, for them to just have the educational experience of kinesio tape,
correct,
why didn't you just do the knee or the shoulder or the gas rock or the elbow? Or why did they have to have things that were they disrupt?
The three main areas that I would use kinesio tape are really for vital feedback. And so scapular retraction is one of them, hip internal rotation is the second one, and then some knee hyperextension feedback. I don't really use it all that much for biofeedback or any other areas, and so that's why.
Okay, so it seems to complete their education on what kinesio tape feels like, it could have been more appropriate for them just to leave it on. Why did you take it off? They could have taken it off.
I don't recall always taking it off.
Okay. So the PRI treatments that you provide those to the patients in the clinic?
Informally, PRI, yes.
Okay. So if you have somebody come in that you believe needs a PRI evaluation, and you find through your evaluation that their ribs are not right, their diaphragm breathing is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
What are the exercises, PRI exercises, that you provide for them?
The one that I most typically will do is the patient is lying on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They have their hips and knees bent to 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Their heels are digging into the wall. They have one arm up overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And then practicing deep breathing from waist all the way up to the top of the clavicles is usually how I try to describe that. And then at times, if there's like a restriction in rib excursion,
mm-hmm.
Then I will pin the lateral side of the rib or the opposite side of the ribs in order to help to expand the side that's restricted.
Usually patients, after the evaluation and the PRI, are given at least four exercises to help themselves adjust themselves. Is that the only exercise you give them?
So I have not been trained in PRI. This is a method that I learned in school, just breathing resistance and breathing you know, trying to focus more on the ribs there.
Mm-hmm.
I would not say I'm a PRI practitioner by any means, but I will pull some methods from them as well as different manual therapies.
With all due respect, if you haven't been trained in it, you shouldn't be doing it. So let's talk about the manual techniques. There's three. The first one that's used is called the ZOA,
okay.
The zone of apposition.
Correct.
Okay. The second one is a sternal test. And the third one is the ice tong lift. So usually the ZOA is used. And it's only used after exercise and given to the patient haven't been successful. The difference between these three manual techniques is hand placement only. But all three of them, the patient is supine on a plinth table. Their knees are bent, feet flat. If you're treating a woman, she's either in a sports bra, tube top, or she has her bra on that has been released, the bra's been loosened, and a towel's been placed over. The clinician or therapist is at the head of the table because it requires, at least for the COA, for a warm washcloth to be put in the left hand through the breasts to the xiphoid process with the other right hand been back. So after that, you can feel the ribs move. After that, the left hand is placed. On the xiphoid process, the patient is told to deep breathe, and you can tell if it's even or not. I have done that procedure. I'm trained in PRI. I have worked with physical therapists with that. And if a physical therapist ever has to do that to a woman, there's always a female person in the room. At no time have I ever seen a patient been told to take their bra off, put a gown on, and sit at the edge of the table, roll your gown up so you could place your hands on her sternum.
I have not performed the procedure that you've described. I have not ever asked anybody to roll their gown up so that I can visualize anything more.
I believe you said that in Ms. Richardson's interview.
Visualize anything more than their sternum.
In the interview you had with Ms. Richardson, you did state that you did that.
Correct. I asked to see their sternum.
And how are you going to do that with the gown on the front?
Bring it up in a V shape like this and allow the gown to drape to the sides.
And who taught you that?
I have not had formal training in that.
So you made it up yourself?
In order to visualize breathing patterns, I did.
Again, if you're not trained in PRI, don't practice it. Thank you. I have no more questions.
Mr. Williams, I have a question. Can you tell me a little bit about your education as far as manual therapy and kinesiotherapy goes?
In manual therapy, my first and third rotations, I was working with a fellow in Manual Therapy Institute. I was training with the Manual Therapy Institute. We were practicing back and forth in that. He was training me during those times. And then in my second rotation, I believe, we did kinesiotaping with my CI at that time. There was a minimal amount of kinesiotaping at that time as well. However, I had also had experience or had exposure to it as a tech prior to
kinesiotaping. How long have you been practicing as a PT?
Almost 5 years.
So other than what you gained
as a student.
I'm sorry, and I also have taken manual therapy course as well on RIV and breathing assessment and thoracic outlet.
One course?
Yes.
And how long ago was that?
Approximately a month ago.
So after? So Kinesio Tape, formal education?
Books, reading the Kinesio Tape book, the my CI given me.
And so certification courses?
No.
No. When you were a student and you were learning Kinesio Tape, what were some of the joints that you learned how to tape?
At that time, it was mostly the shoulder. We did some postural, just basic postural, so cross X in the back to the scapulas, and then the knee, I think that's probably the biggest.
So just the shoulder and the knee, you can still take.
Yeah, thoracic spine, shoulder and knee.
And so when you were showing the volunteer, I'm assuming they weren't a patient when you were communicating the hip?
Correct.
So not a patient, so you, the joints of choice was your choice?
Yes, I would ask them, is this something you'd be interested in? And this is what we're gonna do, clearly lay it out. And they said, yes, that sounds good to me, and I let them know.
So for demonstration purposes only, and you chose the joint, and you chose the hip, disrobed, to show them what Kinesio Tape was like.
I would say not 100% of the time did I choose the joint. I've had volunteers request that I take their shoulders, request that I take their knee.
I'm speaking specifically about the hip.
Or the hip, if I, yeah, we'll talk about that.
And
any other questions for Mr. Williams? Is there anything, like a closing statement, anything you'd like to make?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session to seek legal advice and review confidential materials.
Second. Second.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Okay.